Good day, stuff around here from Rand Nerds.
Skazius.
Welcome to episode 207 of the Rand Nerds podcast, our Christmas special.
Yay, Christmas.
Skazius loves the Christmas special. He's always here every year for it. It's his favourite Christmas podcast.
I was going to say, it's my favourite Christmas special Christmas podcast, is it?
Yes, it is. It is your favourite Christmas.
Oh,
bless. So... So we're here for our little 50s. It's our game talk and game of the year chat today. So, have you played ever games, Skaz? I know we discussed your Mini Metro last time. Have you had anything else in the pipeline? Or
no, I didn't get a chance to play the other games in the Mini, sadly.
Fair.
So it's a bit hectic around Christmas.
Well, yeah.
You know, hey, kids are off school, and I'm like,
kids are off school, how dare they? How dare you children have time off? Well, I've been playing a game.
Have you?
I have. I've been playing. Good? Yes, it's pretty good. It's a game called Gloomwood, and it's early access at the moment. It literally got released. What are we now? September.
Oh right. Access.
And
so proper new then.
Yeah, but it's basically not so much a homage, but definitely heavily inspired by the Thief series of games.
Oh, okay. Right up your alley, then.
Right up my alley. So it is clear the people who play it love the Thief series of games. It's set in this place called Gloomwood. At the moment, there's only three levels in it. And you start the game, you find yourself in like this waste pit in this fishery, and you are basically, some people are going to do some nasty stuff to you, but you get let out by this guy, and you have to, he says, like, come to Lighthouse and find me. And you then have to basically sneak your way through the levels and get to the Lighthouse. At the moment, there's only three levels in the game. It would take you about 4 hours to get there. That's what took me to get to that stage.
That's pretty good for only less than a handful of levels.
Yeah, it's pretty darn good. And it's very much, I would say, Thief 2 era graphics.
Right.
So if you actually look at it and look at the sort of graphics, it's very much like Thief 2 the Metal Age, the sort of style where it's sort of fairly low poly, but enough that you can see what's going on, but enough to sort of get the idea type graphics.
Well, and let the brain fill in the rest of it.
Yeah, exactly. And I have a soft spot for that style of graphics because that's sort of what I grew up with.
Yeah,
that's all. I
like that kind of stuff because, much like D&D, you have to get the imagination going to say what you've got the rough idea of what something is.
Yeah,
but in your head, you always remember it with more detail than you actually saw it.
Exactly.
Your brain does some wonderful things to fill in gaps.
Yes.
In low poly games.
Yes, it does, and they clearly have lent into it as a style. They've literally sort of like lent in and gone, right, okay, we're going to go for this style. Because there's no reason it has to be that low. They could make it easy, a lot higher poly than it is, but they've gone, no, we're going to make it that style, Thief style. You have a pickup, like right at the start, you pick up a ring. The ring is your light gem and works just like the Thief light gem. So you rail on your ring rather than being on the... So there's no UI in this
game. You see it on the character.
Yeah, your character wears it on his finger.
Like that.
That works really well. But it's a bit more. Whereas Thief was like, you had lots of like non-lethal options and so forth, and it's about sneaking around, really not sort of hurting people, because Gout didn't like hurting people. This is a bit more. You basically, all your options are lethal. So your first you pick up is a sword cane, which you can backstab people with. There's no non-lethal option at the moment to do it, so it's a little bit more like aggressive because you're not a thief sneaking around to steal stuff. You are somebody who's just trying to get out, who's trying to be trapped in this weird little village and is trying to get out. It's sort of Victorian era city. It's very, makes you think very Call of Cthulhu-esque. Sort of like that sort of style, like sort of like
random,
yeah. Sort of like there's obviously some sort of cult going on. There's very little story at the moment in it. There's a little bit said, but generally, there's virtually not much story in it at the moment. It's like some sort of like what I call like local flavor, but there's overarching story. There's nothing really in there at the moment. So, why are there? What's going on? There is no answer yet. But it plays just like Thief. Another little neat thing is your inventory, you have a suitcase. And he literally, you ought to actually, you literally open up the suitcase And that's your way you can like then drag. It's a grid-based inventory in the suitcase. You can move stuff around.
Yeah.
And you can like, and also if you're near something, you can literally sort of like click your mouse outside the source suitcase for you, pick up and drag it, put it into the suitcase.
That's
and
neat.
Yeah, and vice versa, you can drag stuff out of the suitcase and put it into the into the environment.
Question, so, does this obscure your view when you do it?
Yes.
Fantastic.
And if there's not enough space for you to do it, he won't open up. So you have to have space to put the suitcase down for you to access your inventory.
Oh, good, 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 good.
Yeah.
I love little bits like that.
Yeah,
I love little bits like that.
They basically said they wanted to create an immersive game style. They wanted it basically to feel immersive. They wanted it to be like lots of systems put into place that generate gameplay. And I love immersive games. I love those sort of like, particularly when you can interact in unusual ways. So doing things like, oh, there's two guys there. Not a bite, but there's a nice explosive barrel near me, and grab the explosive barrel and very carefully sneak it behind them, put the explosive barrel between them, walking away and shooting it with a revolver. That's great fun. That's great fun. It scratched that itch of a thief game. It literally made me feel like I was playing a thief game again. I always used to play a thief game around Christmas. It was all about a Christmas tradition. I've always got memories of playing thief games on Christmas, and this scratches that itch right away. It was just like going back in time, really, and it's like really cool fun. I mean, it's early access at the moment. There's still stuff it needs to do, but to be honest, the basics are there.
They're using early access properly rather than just releasing, like, you know, have you noticed that, like, they tend to release a lot of companies tend to release like full but incredibly buggy games?
Yeah,
this in sort early of the access, or like, yeah, hey, here's an entire world, like an entire world, not even like a curated section of, and then they just
there's like, this is basically the opposite. It's like, okay, we've got the mechanics functioning that we want to function. They now the mechanics actually function. Now we just need to add content.
Sure.
And that's basically what you're paying for. They are basically now got to make more maps, more content. And I get a feeling it's going to be more open world because you can sort of walk back. So that's what I should like to say, is it's a very linear path you take at the moment. And I hope that it'll be more open. But there are points where you can go back. So like the first bit, you're in like this fishery. After you get out of the fishery, and again, because they're so low poly, the levels can be quite big. I mean, they're not as huge as thief levels yet, but they can be pretty big. Once you get
out, controls like actually just quickly. Is it keyboard mouse centric?
Keyboard mouse,
big
yeah.
inventory, or
I think you can use a controller with it, but it's keyboard mouse. Obviously, what I used.
I was just curious because, like, if it would run on Steam Deck.
Yes, I think it's Steam Deck compatible.
Fantastic.
I think. Let me look. I'm on the Steam page at the moment because that says Steam Deck compatible, doesn't it? On it.
Yeah.
It doesn't say it's Steam Deck compatible, but I would have thought it would run no problem.
Sure.
I would have thought so. It looks like potato, so it would run on anything, really. But it's very neat. So they can do the nice big open levels. And it's like bits where you, like, the first level you go down, you'll get into like a, after you get the fishery, there's like a couple of houses. One's got a basement, there's a locked door in that basement. When you then later get up and go through the mines and come to the other end, you can find the other side of that door and open up, so you have to go through the mines again, which is neat.
Sure.
If you love the thief games, you're gonna love Gloomwood. It's got a little bit of stress to it. You can only save at, there's like these little gramophones. They're the only place you can save. You can't save.
So you
save
can't
anywhere.
Save Skelmet.
No. And some cases they are quite far apart from each other. So you have to really sort of like be careful, because you can, if you die, it's like, I mean, I did rage quit it once because I died. And I was so close to, like, I could hear another gramophone nearby, so I knew I was close to it, and then I got killed. I had to go, I went back to start the level.
Sure, sure.
I then realized,
I will say that save scumming and checkpoints, we've been spoilt in recent history in how frequent checkpoints are. Mm. And so when you play a game that spaces things out a bit, it can get really frustrating really quickly, because sometimes it can feel really, really cheap.
Yes, it can feel a bit stressful. Having said that, the one where I died, because I thought, basically, it was like, I was upstairs, there's like a little chute outside this mine. Once you got the chute, you couldn't get back up. And I thought, oh, I'm fucked then, because I can't get back up to, you know, get back to the save point. I then realised being a clop, because why isn't that the very first room is our two boxes that I could pick up and literally build a little set of stairs.
Sure.
So I could then go back in. It's like, oh, yeah, I'll be a bit of an idiot there.
I do love stuff like that, because sometimes you do feel really, really stupid when your brain just goes, hang on a minute. If I think I can do this in real life, there's a potential I can do it in this kind of game. But because so many games have taught you these days that you can only do what they allow you to do, it's very cookie cutter in what you can do. The idea of going back to an immersive sim is really kind of mind-breaking.
It is, yeah. And I love immersive sims. They are probably my... If you class them as a genre, they're probably my favourite genre of games. Yeah, yeah.
Stuff like Thief and Prey and Dishonored and Deus Ex and...
Yes, yes. It's something that there's very much a move away from them into the craft experiences. But immersives are just so cool. Because
it's like, I remember when you were telling me about all the different ways you were going through Dishonored. Mm. And do you know what's really stupid? I'd never actually clicked Dishonored as an immersive sim back in the day. Like, when I first played it, I kind of bounced off Dishonored. I was really psyched for it to start with, and then I bounced off of it. But I was like, but hang on a minute, this is no different than insert other game that I've played before. Yeah. It's just, we haven't played a game like this in like a decade.
Yeah. Well, Dishonored is basically modern Thief.
Yeah.
Realistically, it was off ex-Thief devs made it.
Yeah.
And if you play it about magic, it plays like Thief.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is a run that you can do with no magic. I think it's on one. There's one bit you have to use magic. There's one bit you have to use blink to get through. You can't do it any other way.
But they force you to use blink in the tutorial, at least, don't they? So,
if you discount the tutorial,
okay, so somewhere else in the game. The tutorial
takes place in a dream, so it doesn't count.
Okay.
There's a bit, I think, in the, because I watched a guy do it. He was doing a no trace one where he's basically killing only his target, nobody else. But he got to be, he says, right, this bit, I have tried to do it, no magic. I cannot figure out a way to get around this without using blink. It's the only place I can find I can't get around without blink. So, it's just fun. I love lots of little systems that are, let's make those systems work together and they'll generate interesting things.
Yeah.
So, Gloomwood, real good fun. At the moment, it's obviously got a lot more to be added. It's one of those games I've played now. I probably won't come back to it until it's nearly finished, I think. I'll probably wait and come back to it once I've got most of the content in there. There's like a level, there's like the next sort of level that it's adding in is there's a pub called the Sorted Goat. And at the moment, there's like an upstairs bit where there's a beast you can fight. But that's currently not been built yet. So you go into the basement to sort of like bypass if you want. And the way upstairs is blocked off. There's like those, you can't move. So you have no choice but to go past it. But that's apparently getting added in. So there will be a way to get in there. And then obviously got to add the next stage of the story, the mission to come across.
Sure.
So.
Okay.
But yeah, it's real neat. So yeah, real thumbs up for it. It's $15.49 at the moment. I got on Steam sale. I feel I got about half price. If you like Thief, probably worth picking up you want support, then yeah, it's probably worth picking up. Oh, sorry, it is Steam Deck compatible. Sorry, yeah, playable on Steam Deck.
Awesome.
I missed that bit first. I was looking.
Is that the yellow, isn't it, or is that?
And it's got. This is where my card bonus is going to come. It says playable, and there's like
an exclamation mark.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I assume means that it's not perfect, but you can play it.
That's supposed to be the yellow one. Green, the tick is playable. Then you've got like the no smoking sign is like just fucking no go, and then you've got the other one is supposed to be like a yellow circle exclamation mark thing.
Yeah. So. But yeah, if you like Thief, you're going to love this game. Give it a try. Cool. Right then. I suppose it's time for us to move on to our game of the year.
The big bit. Can I be cheeky and say that I don't have game of the year. I have games of the year.
Well, you always do this, so yes.
And I have some honourable mentions. So do you want to roll in, man?
No, you
just give people the rules, just in case people don't know the...
All right, so game of the year, it's a game that we've played for the first time this year. It's not say a game released this year. It's sort of our rule. It's our game of the year that we've played this year.
Yeah. Do you know what's really bad?
What?
Both of mine are this year.
Oh, there you go.
Because I looked down the list, and first off, that list is incomplete.
That list is based off podcasts.
Well, even that list is wrong because Spider-Man was last year's 24 hours.
That was discussed on... I tell you why that's happened. That's got to end up in there. It's probably got discussed on the January podcast.
So Fair enough. I
literally went to the podcast description and just copied the game.
Yeah, sure.
That's probably what ended up on there.
There's a fair bit missing, but I'm just going to use... the list that we got.
You can add more stuff into that list if you want to.
Well, realistically, so I looked at the list and I actually struggled. I was like, shit, I don't think any of these qualify. Like, I don't think I'm going to be able to pick anything. Because I don't remember many games I've played this year. Like, at all. I don't remember them. Have there been good ones? Yes. I just don't remember what the fuck they were, which isn't really a good start for a game for Game of the Year, right? But a few dinged in that I have played. Now, I want to go in first off with honourable mentions, okay? Ghost of Tsushima is a PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5 game based in Japan, the island of Tsushima. And you are supposed to basically liberate an island, almost Far Cry-esque, but instead of using guns, you're using it's in third person and you're using a sword. And if you do anything against the code of the samurai, you're a ghost. Otherwise, you're a samurai. And depending on how you fight, people will react to you differently. Gorgeous, absolutely beautiful game, right? But it's a PlayStation 5 exclusive, and I didn't own it outright. I was playing it through that PlayStation subscription they have. And I was like, I don't want to keep paying for the subscription to play this game, and I'm not paying like 50 to however much it is to buy the game just for the PlayStation. So one day, I might cheat and say that Ghost of Tsushima is my game of the year when it comes out on PC. So I can actually play it through, properly enjoy it, because I played a lot of it, I played it for a long time, but I didn't really get a huge amount through it, I don't think. But it instantly gets disqualified, really, because it's a fucking PlayStation exclusive. I don't want to turn on the PlayStation. Other honorable mentions, anything free to play in 2022, anything you can currently download and play for free, regardless of microtransaction-y bullshit, regardless of whether or not it's got a premium subscription with it, all right? If it's free to play, fuck, it's good. You're lucky. The level of stuff you can get for free in 2022 is amazing, be it RPGs like Genshin Impact, Honkai Impact 3rd, MMOs like Tower of Fantasy, stuff like this. Was it New World, the one done by Amazon that was free? Free, wasn't it? They had one that was paid and one that was free. Whatever the free one was, amazing. Valorant, Counter-Strike, League of Legends, Dota. There are so many quality games out there that you don't have to pay for. Phenomenal. Absolutely amazing. You could literally buy a PC or a console and never have to pay for a game and still get hundreds of hours worth of entertainment out of free software. You know, I know some people who only play like Fortnite and League of Legends, you know? You don't have to pay to do anything in those. Mm. But awesome. So that's that group. Do you know outright what you want to pick, Ram?
Yes, I do know what I want to pick.
Just the one?
If I had to pick one, yes, I've got one I'd pick.
Oh, he's narrowed it down.
There are five.
Oh,
my short list.
Okay.
All for different reasons.
Okay.
There's one that saw like gone to myself, pick one, and I've come to say I've picked the same one every time.
Okay. Okay.
So I have got one. So
well, I'll tell you what. So I've gone through some honourables.
All right. Should I do my honourables?
Yeah, go for it, man. Go.
And then we'll go back to you. You pick yours, and we'll go back to mine. Cool. Sure. So, honorable mentions this year. I think I'd like to give an honorable mention to Amnesia Rebirth. Horror game, set in Amnesia. I haven't played that style game for such a long time. It was great fun. It was one of those games that I was glad to finish it because I like horror games, but I am glad to finish them.
They
are quite sort of stressful. If it wasn't for the fact it was broken in the middle, this would probably be actually in a contender, and that's Metro Exodus. If it wasn't for that middle Caspian level, which is really broken.
I had to stop. I've not gone back to it.
I got past it, and latter levels are a lot better. They sort of like, it's just that level. There's something wrong with that level. Because other layers don't have this problem as well. There must be a memory leak on that level. If it wasn't for that, it would probably be in the running. I think Vermintide 2, we had a great laugh on that. Same with Demio, we had a great laugh at that, playing that online. Just because it was a bit different, a bit kooky, not a game of the immaterial. Stray, just because it's a bit odd.
Yeah.
I like a bit of Stray, but it's out of the days, it's a fairly straightforward, simple platformer with some puzzle elements in it. So that's why it doesn't quite make the grade, in my opinion. And probably Necromunda Hired Gun, because that was a nice sort of fast-paced shooter.
A change of pace for you.
It was a very much a change of pace for me, yes. A very much a change of pace for me. So they're probably some of my honourable mentions. That at least drop out at me anyway.
Sure, sure. Well, because I'm now looking down the list of stuff here, and I mean, I feel like I'm being really cruel to some of these games, because like some people are going to really fucking rage, right? So there are a bucket of Hyperdimension Neptunia games on my list, because Hyperdimension Neptunia Reverse, a remake of Rebirth, came out on PlayStation 5, and I played that through and Rebirth. I love those games, but I've spoken way too much about Neptunia. You know, Metro, fun, too fucking buggy. let's have a look. Stray, just no. By the time I got to the end of Stray, I almost wanted to just destroy it. Final Fantasy VII Remake, I've gone through that game twice now, and whilst I appreciate it more on the second time through, there are some points in that game it is still horribly, horribly padded. So as good as it is, as pretty as it is, I couldn't give it.
Good to put the padding in, because Final Fantasy VII was such a short game. It's good to put all the padding in.
The thing is, though, again, with Final Fantasy VII Remake, the whole game was, what, 30 to 50 hours long? Final Fantasy VII from the 90s?
Yeah.
Right, the whole game, right? Midgar ends, what, halfway through disc one of the original-ish? Right? But in Final Fantasy VII Remake, they had to pad the Midgar section to around 30 to 50 hours. Just Midgar. Did it feel alive? Yeah. Were you doing a lot of busybody work, though? Oh, my God, yes. And it terrifies me now what we're going to do later game, because obviously there's going to be extra parts to Final Fantasy VII Remake to cover the rest of it. Hmm?
They've not released it all yet.
No. They've announced the next part. So the next, I don't know if they're doing it in quarters or thirds, but the next bit is due for release. or it's coming soon. But I'm sat there thinking to myself, because they're claiming it might be open world. I'm like, what happens when we get to fucking Fort Condor that takes like 15 minutes? Is that going to become like a 4-hour segment?
Probably.
Or like fucking, Cosmo Canyon, couple hours. You know, that becomes an entire game or something. Like, no, but there's... I like that they've built the world up a bit more, but there's a lot of padding. Awful lot of padding. And outside of Midgar in the original game was also very, 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 very thin. How are they going to pad this out for another couple of games? But, you know... But I don't think they're going to finish the Final Fantasy VII remake until probably... I don't know if they've actually got a release schedule out for it, but I don't feel it's going to be finished for another good few years. I think the next part will probably be next year, and then give it another 2, 3, 4 years, and you'll get the last fucking part of it. It's going to be a slog for Final Fantasy VII fans at this point. And the other honourable mention should really go to Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak, because I'd love Monster Hunter games. I really, really, really love Monster Hunter games. But I didn't really get a huge amount of time to play Sunbreak. My group dawdled through regular Monster Hunter Rise, which is fucking fantastic. Absolutely amazing. But I'm not going to keep on picking games from series that I do like every other year. Oh, hey, there's a new Monster Hunter game of the year next year. Nailed it. Yeah. First try. So I figured I'd go.
There's going to be different. I sort of can't wait to the next Hypernova game called Hypernova Unit, Skaz's Game of the Year.
That, mate, they've already announced it.
Is it called Skaz's Game of the Year?
It may as well be. But now, look, I would love to give it to Monster Hunter Rise.
Oh, cool.
Like, I would love to. But no.
Okay.
Oh, so I've got two titles for Game of the Year. Do you want me to spit out one and then you?
No, go do your both and I'll go through my shortlist.
Okay, cool. So this should not be, I'm outright saying it, given that I've just said no to Monster Hunter Rise, and I'm going to say yes to this, I swear someone's going to kick down my door. If I get fucking double tapped at some point, then...
I'll know why.
Yeah. I am going to give my first to Zenith, The Last City, which is a... It's one of the better VR MMOs. And it got released beginning of this year by Ramen VR. And it was not finished on release. It was very thin, very copy-pasty. Towards the end, it was so grindy, I started to rage when people were asking me about it on stream. I played through it as two separate character classes. Most of my friends barely got through about a third of it before they gave up, because it was an early access game that got released as a full title. On PC, it was early access, but if you bought it on the Oculus Store, be it on Oculus PC or Quest, or if you bought it on the PlayStation for PlayStation VR, that was a full release. But it was nowhere near ready to be considered a full release. Nowhere fucking near ready. And I don't even think it's ready now. I haven't actually played it in months, but it's not ready. However, the vision is there. A full world in VR is an amazing thing to do. MMOs are not easy to make.
No. MMOs like one of the hardest games you could decide to try and make.
For sure. And for such a small team, I think there's like, at the time when I first spoke of Zenith, there was like, what, 15, 20 people, tops? What they have done with such a small team in a relatively new genre. Well, like VR.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And when you look at it compared to other VR MMOs, Zenith is probably is the best of the bunch. The fact that it is my most played game on Steam tells you that it has potential. I've got thousands of games on Steam, and Zenith shot straight up to the top. And I haven't played it in months, yet it is still sat there at the top. Most other games don't come close. The main issues I had with it were that the intro was very thin. You do a very Billy Bob basic character creation. You get tossed into this world with very little explanation as to what's going on. Because it was, again, somewhat early access, right? And then you'd go through this tutorial zone, get sent into the world, and it was kind of buggy. It was fun, but it was kind of buggy. Nothing was really explained. It was like a combo of maybe Guild Wars, Final Fantasy, some kind of like WoW level quest. Like a lot of different MMOs were mushed together.
Yeah.
For this game in a VR environment. By the time you got about a third of the way through, probably not even a third, there was a place called the Obsidian Fortress. And if anyone remembers my first chat about Zenith, I went fucking spare about the Obsidian Fortress. Because all of a sudden, quest giver characters, your quest givers, one of your quest giver NPCs, becomes a generic enemy.
Oh.
Bandits that you were fighting in the beginner area become a harder main enemy. Pathing in enemies was broken. Copy paste was all over it. In fact, in a zone or two's time after that, it is literally copy paste enemies from the beginning of the game. There was only one dungeon. Beginner items! Like, items you could grind at the very start of the game could be used for item drops, for weapon exchanges and armor exchanges right towards the end of the game. Because they just copy and pasted the enemy model, buffed their stats a bit, and you had to just fight hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these little enemies again. It was just a grind. Story was fucking empty. It just fell apart. By the time you got to Obsidian Fortress, there was nothing left. They ran the fuck out. It became nothing but fetch quests and grinding and just like, what is going on? But again, it was a team of 15 people, 20 people or so, and the fact that I would imagine they needed to get the product out there to get more money to keep the studio going, yeah. Right? I'm that's purely speculation, but they are still updating it quite regularly. New bosses, new content. I don't know if they're putting in new character classes yet, but they had announced a bunch. They really do want to make this game work. And again, because of the scope of the project and the fact that they're taking a stab at it in VR is reason enough for me to put it up here on the games you should take a crack at if you have VR. Should also mention it is cross-play. So if you're on the Oculus store, whether you're on the Quest store, the Meta Quest store, so you're on standalone or PC, whether you're on Steam or whether you're on PlayStation, they all play on the same servers. So you could all just, you know, my mate Divine could be on his PlayStation, I could be on my Quest, you could be on the PC, and bam, we're all in the same game. That's fantastic. And characters are account locked, not server locked. So if you started and you were playing on a different server to us, we could all just jump in anytime we wanted.
That's cool.
So you know, that is one thing I will say I do very much like about VR, the fact that they have opened up cross-platform play, because they know that the audience is going to be small on every platform. Why release platform-specific servers if you can just mush everyone together? Because the code base is going to be largely the same, right?
Yeah.
So, you know. So Zenith, The Last City, it's a grind fest. It's not great. It's not perfect. This will probably be the worst game of the year recommendation you'll ever hear, but it has a lot of promise.
Yeah. Cool. Right. Was that just the only one you're going to pick this year? Because I think you're going to pick two.
Well, this one probably won't come as a surprise to anyone, but I know that our rule is generally games that we played for the first time this year, which should automatically disqualify this one anyway. However, they released a flat screen version of it. Okay, so you might know what we're going for here, Ram. It started out as a VR game, I believe, last year.
Oh, I know what you mean.
And then it got a flat screen, regular PC release, middle of 2022. And that goes to the multiplayer tabletop RPG Demio. I cannot believe how much time I burnt in Demio. In fact, if the timers were mushed together between my Quest play, my PC VR play, and my PC flat screen play, it would probably be up there rivaling Zenith for my top most played game on Steam. If it were possible to put those three figures together, it would definitely be up there. Demio is, imagine Dungeons and Dragons. You know, you've got your mates all around a table in a basement, and you've got your little character models, and you get to move around the character models and fight various enemies on floors, on a dungeon, to find a key, to find a monster that has a key, to find an exit, to move down to the next floor until you get to the third floor and fight a boss. As you fight enemies, you gain points to unlock new cards, which are usually character-specific. For characters, you have a tank, an assassin, a mage, the ranged archer, the bard, and I don't remember what the newer character is, but there's like six or so different character classes. You get specific cards that you can use every turn based on character class, and then the rest of them you can unlock or buy between rounds. And it is I'm not doing a very good job of explaining it, but it's fucking fantastic.
It's a fantastic strategy game. When you come up with an idea of a strat that works,
mm-hmm.
it feels so rewarding. And likewise, when you fuck up a strat, or like you get that little, you think, okay, this will only work if we all get a crit, if we all get a hit. If one of us misses, we're fucked.
Yep.
The bosses are really smart. I mean, the video's not up yet, or it's midway being edited, but the... Do you know how long we spent on the last floor?
I'm going to imagine a good hour or so.
Hour and 49 minutes.
Really? On the last boss?
Yep.
Nearly
2 hours of our last stream was the final boss level.
That's insanity. We were playing quite conservatively, but
we had to.
It didn't feel that long.
It didn't, no, it didn't. When I got the footage, I thought it was going to be like 3 hours for the whole lot. When it was nearly 4 hours, I was like, bloody hell. It all came through. And yeah, I chopped it all up. And like the first two levels were like 40 minutes each. And the last one was an hour and 49 minutes.
And that tells you how magical this game is. If you're playing it in VR, let's put it this way. You could put your VR headset on middle of the day. And the next time you lift up your headset, all of a sudden it's dark. You're stood in a dark room.
Yeah.
It's that fucking good. Time just disappears as you're playing this game, because you're just stood there, sat there, chatting with your mates.
Yeah.
Trying to come up with these cool strats, trying to navigate these dungeons. I mean, the game can very quickly flip what seems like a good run right on its ass.
And
you open one door and all of a sudden your whole team is like, oh crap, you're burning resources, you have to completely rework your strats. You know, certain enemies appear that didn't appear on the last run and you're like, oh no, what are we supposed to do?
Yeah. Oh no, not another one of those. But on the flip side of that, you can seriously thinking there's no way we're gonna survive this, and yet somehow you pull out of the bag.
Yeah. all of a sudden you get that one lucky crit or that one card you desperately need turns up. Mm. Or, I don't know, you manage to nail a bomb shot as everything just lines in, lines up or whatever. It's absolutely phenomenal. It's cross-play. Again, I've got to say this again. It's cross-play, Quest. I don't know if it's on PlayStation. PC desktop mode. The people keep asking me, is the VR version compatible with the desktop version? Yes, it's cross-play, the whole thing. If you've got a standalone Quest headset or a Pico headset or you're playing on an Index in Steam, it doesn't matter if people are on Oculus or Meta or Pico or wherever, you can play on the same servers.
It's coming to PlayStation 5 and PSVR 2 in 2023.
Fantastic. People who like PlayStation VR, get it. Flat out. If you don't get it, you're really selling yourself short on that one. That is a headset selling game, I think. Or if you want to play it in the desktop mode, then my God, play the desktop. The desktop version is surprisingly good. I actually broke my rule, my VR rule. I do not like VR games getting desktop ports. Don't like it at all.
That's because usually they're done very badly.
Yeah, but oh my God, Demio's beautiful, fantastically done. I will say, immersion is much, much, much better in VR. Yeah. And the level of detail in VR is much, much, much better. But the interface in the desktop version, very, very, very workable. Very workable. I just don't think it's quite as good as if you've got your headset on. But the idea that I can play it on my Steam Deck, like I can sit there with my Steam Deck, or my son can pop on his Oculus Quest, and we could be sat there, like, you know, he's in VR, I'm on my Steam Deck, and we're both playing the same game with voice chat and all that. That's phenomenal. Yeah. Absolutely phenomenal.
I can actually see it. It's such a well-rounded game. I can actually see them if they could even go as far as actually releasing a board game version. That's just the game.
Yes, that would be absolutely brilliant. Brilliant.
Yeah, that would work. That it would work straight out of the box, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. I mean, have you noticed how we tend to gravitate to board game style things on most stuff? Like when we played, what was the one that Bard really liked?
Armello.
Yeah, that's the one. Armello. I've got that installed on my iPad.
Yeah,
like that would have made a great board game. Fantastic. Yes. Board game. Honestly, I think Armello would make a great VR game too, a great VR would. Board game as well. Yeah. Man, Demio is fan-fucking-tastic.
No,
not many bugs. I've not had many bugs in it either.
No, I've had a couple. I had a sound glitch in our last one where the sort of dun 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 noise it plays when the enemies are moving kept playing.
The battle music kept going. That's probably one of the worst ones we've had, and like maybe a disconnect. But then we managed to actually pick up straight away, and it saved where we were.
I would say the disconnect. I'd say that was my internet that went down, and that disconnect was very elegantly handled.
Oh God, yeah. It's got drop in, drop out.
Yeah, but it remembers. So I came back and I was exactly where I was. I had the same health, same gear. It wasn't like it reset anything. I wasn't like I lost cards or anything. It was beautifully handled, really beautifully handled.
Whereas most games would, like, if the host dropped, everyone would get kicked. Zebra and I continued the game, no issues.
Yeah.
And it scales. It scales difficultly too. So if you drop out, the enemies lose health and they do less damage.
Yeah.
An absolutely brilliant game. Beautiful game. The team behind it should be fucking proud.
They should be. It's a very, Greg's a very well thought out game.
Yeah. And I will continue to fucking play it as long as they release expansions. Mm. I've played the first expansion because I was playing it when they only had like the first like expansion or two. I've played that first expansion a shit ton. Absolutely brilliant. Mm. As I say, just because of how it dynamically changes difficulty and how it only takes you to open up one door and one enemy being there that you didn't expect, and your team is fucking done.
I also like the fact that the modules are still, even the sort of later on, the modules are still somewhat charging, because your characters, when you get experience points, you don't actually get, your characters don't upgrade, you just get
it's
like...
cosmetic.
It's all cosmetic. And going back and playing, because we accidentally played the first, we meant to play like the newest expansion, playing the first module again. I'm like, this is a tough level. This is really tough, these enemies and so forth. These must be a bit new. All of the enemies are now targeting stuff we didn't expect them to do. Turns out we're playing the first module again. Yeah. Just, yeah.
So, it was that good. It was that, I was just like, wait, hang on a minute. No way. As soon as we saw that end boss stage, I was like, dude, this is the first module again. No fucking way. We were getting our asses beat by the first module.
Yeah.
Like, that was insanity. Such a good game. Such a good game. I was so surprised when I played that game how good it was. And, I was a bit hesitant to recommend it to people to start with, because I was like, a tabletop game? I don't know. Tabletop game in VR, are people really going to stick? Fucking Zaber plays it for a bit, and he's like, oh, wow, man, this is fucking great.
Yeah.
I was like, yep. You know?
Well, the majority of our games like this year has been Demio.
There you go. So. And usually we get pretty bored pretty quickly of of games.
We do.
I do think we need to somehow get my mate Divine in, though, because he loves Demio, or he quite enjoyed Demio, and it does have the option to have a 4-player split.
Yes. Something we can definitely do.
So. Demio is definitely a game you should play, at least if you have a PC. If you have a VR headset and you haven't played it yet, you're really missing out.
Yeah.
Really missing out.
Mm. I feel a bit fair. It's definitely a game you play if I feel you'd want to play with mates, though.
They do have a lobby system, though. I've played with a lot of randoms.
Yeah.
In the past. It's pretty good. It is better with friends. But because it has got, built-in voice chat, it has got a nice lobby system in it. Cause I've not actually had to use that since I've been playing with you guys. Before, people would just drop in, drop out from my live streams and stuff. But there is actually a gathering hall that you can go to meet up with other players to start a game. So you don't have to if you don't want to. But then because it is cross-platform, it's going to be a lot easier to get friends in.
Yeah.
I doubt people are going to struggle to find... I've got a VR headset, but my mates haven't got VR headsets, but they've got PCs or PlayStations. It's like, I'm pretty sure we've got mates that fit one of those other categories,
They should do. I can't remember which... there was another game that was like a multiplayer game that you could decide to play. And you had the option when you bought it, you could buy a version of it, which is dearer, but had like extra keys that you could hand to your mates.
I don't know if actually Demio has something like that right now. Because when I searched for Demio earlier, it had a different... Hang on.
I mean, I've got the Steam store open. Let me have a look.
Demio Together Collection. Oh, I said Demio Original Soundtrack and PC Edition. Okay, that's just a package of the different versions of the game. I weren't sure if they had a... buy one, get three more keys kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember which game it is, but I've definitely seen one where you can you buy the game, you buy you get like extra keys that you can hand out to people, or get gift copies you can gift out to people.
Yeah, like Divine Cybermancy and stuff had like stuff like that as well, didn't they?
Yeah.
You could buy it as a combo pack. No, I think that's something that the Demio team should do. So if someone wants to take a punt on buying multiple keys.
Give them a discount.
Oh, and it is nice as well that your account data, I think, syncs up between platforms as well.
It didn't for me. Where between the VR version, non-VR version, it didn't. But I've not gone back to VR version to see if it has.
Oh, right.
But it definitely didn't for me.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Right. Cool.
Well, I think that's a very good choice. I'm giving mine to two random VR games.
Both, I think, good choice. I know you're a bit unsure about Xena, but I think that's a very valid choice.
Cool.
Cool.
But so what's your brief, man?
So my short list. So all these games have got potential. They all scratch a different itch, and they've all got a reason why they're on the list. So I'll work my way through them. So first on the list is Deathloop, which is a first-person shooter. You're on a... It's very similar to Palace Kingdom, where you're in this looping time frame set over a day, and the day repeats every time you die. The day repeats. And most people just don't... Every time it dies, most people don't remember what happened the previous day. You, however, have the ability to remember what's gone on previous days, so previous loops, which most people don't. There's one other character you can. There's actually technically two other characters you can. But all the other sort of characters, they'll live the same day, so the game basically resets every 24 hours. And your goal is to try and break the loop to get out of it by killing the founders of the loop. But you've got to get them all killed in one day. And you have to work out, and basically through investigating leads and stuff, work out how to, what order to kill them in, or do things, or sabotage things to break the loop and get them all game in certain places. Because there's like, I think there's 7 founders, but there's only like 4 levels, and you can only visit each level once per day. So you have to get some of the other people in other places, so you can get them all in one day, because otherwise, by default, on a normal day, you can't do it. It's made by Dishonored devs. Very, very similar art style. It's actually set in the same universe as Dishonored.
Oh.
But in the far future. Because actually, there's guns in the criminal will actually have, like, you know, gunsmiths of Dunwall on them.
Oh, neat.
It's a very neat. I like the storyline. I like the concept. I like this art style. I like the music. I still listen to the soundtrack occasionally. Really neat game. So that's one of the contenders. Satisfactory. That's in there because that stretches my how to make something. How to basically make something efficient and not wasteful. You basically on a planet. You have to refine. You basically mine like minerals and ores and stuff, which you can then process into like other bits, which you then like metal piping and stuff, which you can then process again into more complicated things and gradually build like really like you know motors and stuff. And then you have to send them up into a space elevator, so that they can be took away and sold on. Basically, that's your goal. So your job is to basically build a factory floor that is ultra efficient and runs and produces what you need to do. You can adjust the timings of things and slow down, speed things up to get to the right thing. So you're only producing what you need and create little buffers and stuff. That really sort of working out. I mean, literally, I always sit there, a bit of paper, and actually work out. Like timing stuff to work out what the most efficient factory would be, so I can make my stuff and get it running properly. And like,
you know, you've got something going good there when Ram pulls out the old piece of paper.
Yes, indeed. Next is Timberborn, where you are again set in the far future of our planet, where you are basically managing. It's a city building game, but you're managing a colony of beavers. Is Inky still fiddling with her beavers?
She is still playing. She is still playing it, yeah.
Yeah.
She put a lot of time into that when she first got it.
Yeah, I thought it'd be right up her street. And yeah, you can build it and you can like build their sort of structures and you have to control, you have like little districts and stuff. And you, and at some point you will create a gulag. It's inevitable, unfortunately. And then interestingly, games that I've played most recently. So Paradise Killer, because it's basically Disco Elysium again, which was my game of the year last year.
Was that really last year?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I get because you were surprised because I gave it to Disco Elysium, not Cyberpunk. So that's
terrifying.
I like the storyline. It's a bit different, a bit strange. I like the environment, atmosphere, and I like the fact that it's sort of like having to sort of like investigate and solve murder mystery and then bring it to trial is a really neat concept and really great fun. And only for nostalgia reasons, Gloomwood, only because it's a thief like. But that one, knocking them out, that one gets knocked out fairly quick because it's not a complete game yet.
Sure.
But okay. Out of all of those games, that was my short list. But the one that I keep going back to every single time, I think, right, which one I'm going to go? And I keep having the same answer, and that answer is Deathloop. I just, wow. Yeah. I like the I like the systems. It's a game that I still think about. Like, I played that beginning of last year. This year. But I still occasionally think about it. I still play the music. It's not been erased out of memory. I still have fond memories of playing it. Becoming this ultra, equipping yourself up like this ultra deaf, you can jump down all the buildings and stuff and play it almost like, I love being able to just like jump from building to building, and just like jump on top of people and stabbing them through the head. It's great fun. So, and it's got that sort of immersive sim to it. The fact that it's a repeat, the environment repeats every day means you can go back. You can every level changes over the course of the day, so you can experience each level different times of the day and find out how they change, and different things will happen, and you can then know. It's an interesting concept. It's fairly well executed. It's fun. It's got fun mechanics in it, and you can absolutely be an absolute dick in it as well to people.
Can I just out there, I have noticed that when given an option, when you're given like moral options, you do tend to often swing towards the "I'm a bit of a dick" kind of group.
I'm not fully evil, but I'm a bit of a dick.
this person has been nasty to me. Something bad's happening to them. Well, fuck them.
No persuade. In the game where you can hack the meat grinder that people stand on top of and drop them open the trapdoor up, and you wait for your target to stand there and give his little thing, and you hack it and he falls straight into the meat grinder, that's fun. That's just amusing.
I'm fucking glad you haven't turned into a dictator.
No. Tim Bourne did bad things to me.
Nicktopia and the fucking gulags.
Yeah, I've come to the conclusion that I should never be put in charge of society, because I just become an evil bastard. I don't know what happens, but at some point I go, it'd be so much easier if these people were just dead. And that happens, unfortunately. It happened in Tropico, but Tropico's fine because you're meant to be like that, so it's okay. I mean, the guy that kept building his shack next to this sort of like tourist area, and I had to eventually make him disappear.
I remember you talking about it. It's like, fucking hell. That's not how this works, mate.
It did in my world.
So look, motherfuckers get made disappeared.
Look. There was empty housing available for him. Nice empty housing. He chose to live in a shack next to the place where he worked. I mean, come on. That's how the tourist industry. He had to go. He had options. I gave him plenty of options to go somewhere else, but no, he had to go. Sorry, mate.
Doesn't help that you broke his legs like the day before and he still didn't leave.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's City Skylines. We know about Nicktopia.
Good old Nicktopia.
1-7. And then, of course, Timberborn, which, again, drew out the dictator side of me again. It's like, oh, I'm going to send all these people up to this area, this district, to mine metal for me. Oh, they've all starved to death.
Unfortunate.
Of course, I forgot to send them food. Oops.
Whoops. Oh, well.
In my defense, the only thing stopping them coming getting food was a short walk, so that's kind of their fault.
Yeah, no, I'll give you that.
Yeah. It's not my fault they chose not to walk through the gate.
The guy stood on top of the gate with the assault rifles, though.
Yeah, I don't
know. Dave, guarding the place.
Yeah, the only beaver with an assault rifle. Yeah. Yeah, I built that assault rifle specially for him. It's made of wood.
Just made of wood. Careful, mate. You'll get splinters.
I'm about to say it's a splinter rifle. That is actually a thing in Warhammer 40,000 splinter rifle. It doesn't actually fire literal splinters, but...
I'm surprised you're not playing Darktide and that didn't get Game of the Year.
I have heard Darktide is quite buggy at the moment.
All right.
So I'm leaning that for a bit because I've heard that it's good, but it's people will say it's great fun, but it does crash quite a lot.
All right.
So I thought, I'm going to leave that for a bit and let them to fix that first. We go back to that. But yeah, I'll give it a few months to fix at least the major stuff and then go back to it. I think, sort of answer to that. But yeah, definitely, if I had to give one, if I had to pick a second option, probably be Satisfactory.
Huh. So what we're saying is the soundtracks and the getting out the notebooks, they're definitely the tells for you.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Yes, yeah. That is. If I have to, at some point, sit down with a spread, and I'm not only in a notebook, but I do also have a spreadsheet at one point running as well. If at some point I have to get a spreadsheet out, then yeah, you can be pretty sure this is the game to go to for me.
God damn.
So, oh, well, there you go. Anything else to add before we close up our Christmas special?
No, I mean, I'm pretty sure earlier on in the year I said that Monster Hunter was going to be my game of the year. It's a great game. I've put another 100 hours into it. But it's I can't keep giving Monster Hunters like game of the year, isn't that? Or wanting to. Do you think we should maybe pick a genre? Like I was thinking like next year, I'm tempted just to bundle into a bunch of immersive sims.
Okay.
Because they're not games that I've played in a long, long time.
Yeah, well, if you want to give it a go, by all means.
Is there anything you'd try? Something a bit out of your comfort zone.
That'd be an MMO then.
Ooh, that's dangerous.
That is something that, as a rule, I have dabbled in occasionally, but as a rule, don't go really near.
Interesting.
So,
are there any out there that you'd be?
So, the last MMO I played was Guild Wars 2.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, that's several years ago. Before that would have been World of Warcraft.
So, Warcraft is not a good example of a... Just no.
Yeah. I'd have to actually have a do a bit of research and look to see what was out there, trying to decide what I'd want to play. I don't... Trouble is, the sort of things I like in games, I don't like in MMOs. So things I don't like grinding, for example. And MMOs tend to be about grinding. So if someone could find me an MMO where it's like, you know, minimal grinding to get through and get content and stuff, then I'd probably be interested in it. Also, it means having to deal with other people. And
I'd give you that. I'd give you that.
But yeah,
I mean, this is right. I'm not going to be playing immersive sims because they do things I like.
Yeah. If you're going to go with your preferred thing, go into immersive sims, then I think the only thing is I could go to my unpreferred thing, which would be MMOs.
There you go.
All right, we'll give that a go for next year then.
I think that's it, man. Really. It is.
All right. Well, I hope everybody enjoyed joining us on our Christmas special. Hope you all have a fantastic Christmas. And we'll get very fat on turkey, and if anyone get a turkey this year, and pork and sausages and all those other good healthy things like bacon and other sports sausages and sausage meat and gammons and bacon and pies with pork in them and beef and lamb, all that good stuff. I hope you all have a good time eating those. And we shall return, actually. The world has aligned, and we shall be back on New Year's Eve on the 31st of December, in case you didn't know that when the New Year's Eve was. That's when it is, at half past nine. You can also join us on... we'll be resuming... There will be a Christmas special games night going up over Christmas, but we won't be live. That's all been pre-recorded because, you know, we have lives outside. Well, some of us have lives outside the podcast. But normal service will be resumed on the 3rd of January at 8:30 GMT, and you can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/SuffolkGram.
And I am twitch.tv/Skazius, SK4ZZI0US.
So look out for our Christmas special games nights, which will be up on the channel. And we look forward to seeing you on New Year's Eve. So until then, see you later.
Take it easy, guys.